Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnt out and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content that we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today. To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
Like nonprofit, the lifeline is fundraising, right? You have to be able to get money. You said government is not the best source to get money, so it's private donors. But that's also very challenging, right? To kind of like always, it's not guaranteed either that you're going to get a stream. So how has it been for you as far as fundraising? What are some challenges and what are some best practices that you learned?
For sure. So right now we have a strategy. So I started implementing strategic planning, right? The strategic plan, like I said earlier, is based on your needs assessment, right? So we look at what do we need in the organization, and then, okay, we need this and how are we going to get it, right? So what we did was this year we have three approaches. So we have a grant writer that we contract. So this grant writer spends time in the library because they have a source called Foundational Directory, and it's a free database that tells you where all the grants are at. Companies pay for that, but at the library it's for free, right? So he'll spend hours there and research and finding grants that align with our mission. He'll present it to me and say, yo, this is a good grant to go after. We'll have several meetings on it, talking about budgets, how it's going to align with my current mission and budget, and then he's going after them, right? So that's one approach. The other approach is more like a traditional model, corporate outreach, right? So I was fortunate through one of my donors. So we have some secure donors from last year that gave us a lot of money. He gave me a list of like over 500 companies throughout the U.S. worth up to $7 billion, right? His company is based on cold calling. That's what we're doing, right? We have a team. My team is dedicated some of their hours a week to cold calling those companies to introduce us, share our mission, and hopefully build relationships. So when it comes to money and outreach, it's about relationship building, as y'all know, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one approach that we want to measure, too, to see if this is even effective. Is it a waste of time? Is it working? So we're doing that to raise money. And then crowdfunding, right, is another thing through online campaigns, social media, right, GoFundMe, and things like that for specific things. And then what we did last year, which was really, really interesting, it was our first one, which was our first fundraiser gala. Right, the goal was $50,000. We walked away with $68,000 in the first night. You know, shout out to Styles P. He came as a guest speaker. We had 432 people in the building. First fundraiser, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you raise money. You sell tickets. You get a venue space, right? You market the tickets. You use the money for not profit, but to invest back into the company. The money that we raised for that fundraiser, the goal was our first office, and we just signed the commercial lease in February, and we finally moved in and up and running. So those are the ways in which now you have to think about getting money for the nonprofit, because the goal for every nonprofit is to try to secure consistent donors. Even if one person gave me $500 a year, one person gave me $50,000 a year. You got to count all of that money, right? While still going after grants, you still need government funding, right? And then what kind of put me in position was a unique opportunity. So Executive Order 211 by Governor Hochul, it was announced in 2022 as a result of gun violence. So a lot of money. GVP is a buzzword right now, gun violence prevention, right? A lot of people going after it. That money was a lot of money. About $20 million was poured into an initiative called Project Rise. So Project Rise was a new approach to funding nonprofits from the state. It was never done this way, right? Where they was giving you the money up front, right? So we applied, we got accepted. We were like one of like five nonprofits in Yonkers that got it. And we got a nice chunk, which played a major role in me going full time, right? So now we got part-time staff members. I'm a full-time staff member. I got volunteers and I got paid per diem. So that's as I need them, right? You go into a per contract. So we've diversified our money by using the state money, the contract money, the crowdfunding, the fundraiser, to now pay all the stuff that we need for the company.
So let me ask you a question. So it's like, is there like a test or like a limit? Like, is there a rule? Because let's say hypothetically I have a nonprofit. I raise $5 million, right? I have to use, because like somebody could just deposit that in their bank account, right? So it's like, is there a rule to be like, okay, if 80% of the money that you raise, you have to deploy in the course of 18 months? Like, how do they track that?
Yeah, no. So when you do your own fundraiser, you determine that, right? Unless a donor that's giving you X amount of money says this money's for this. So the donor could determine, like, this is for your rent only. You can't spend this on program expenses, for example. You can't spend it on food for the office, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how one stipulation comes in. With the project, like when it comes to state funding, there's very controlling, right? You have a budget, a proposed budget that you have to actually adhere to, right? So that money's controlled, and the timeline that you said you're gonna spend this money, they're monitoring, like whatever the case is. When you do your own fundraiser, like, you know, you gotta be authentic to your, you know, your supporters, right? Our goal was an office space, right? So when we got the money, right, we didn't have no stipulations like, you gotta spend this money on the, but we like, nah, y'all helped us raise money for the location. We're gonna get the location because we actually needed the location, right? So the stipulation varied depending on the grant that you're going after, right? Some grants are unrestricted. So shout out to Jeff Bezos' wife. Hopefully she sees this, man. She's been running around dumping millions of dollars into nonprofits unrestrictedly, though. Yeah. Like, unrestricted is like, yo, do what you need to do with it. There's no police reporting on it, right? Like, that's a nonprofit's dream, you know? So,
she just announced that, like, $6 billion.
She's putting on right now.
I think New York State was the first place she looked first. And it was, I think she's looking for, like, a crazy number of nonprofits.
And her process is hard to even find. They have to find you. So hopefully they find 914 United. You know what I mean? But no, for sure. But the unrestricted comes from, you know, noble individuals with a lot of money that's like, yo, I love what you're doing. We trust your work. But this is something good for all business owners, right? Your finances have to be in order, right? Like, part of what got us the location, part is what got us into these, a lot of these deals. Grant providers, they want to see your finances sometimes, right? There's something called GodStar. They have the IRS website that they go look at and check how much went to program and how much went to salaries, right? Some of them care about those, like, little details. But your books, your financial story is your engine for the organization, specifically for a nonprofit, because people are giving you money, mm-hmm. right? So, like, what we've been working on, which is a financial project, is getting audit ready. That's what we call it, right? Getting audit ready, making sure that when any funder, hopefully real wealthy funder, wants to see our financial story, it aligns, right? There's no disconnect. So that's
what I'm getting at. So, all right, you audit ready. So if somebody wants to pull your records, they can see, okay, this amount of money went here, this amount of money went here.
Exactly.
So if you're doing due diligence, even for the public to know, like, if they want to give money to a nonprofit, but they're not sure about if the money's actually going to go to help people, like, they can actually look to see financial records?
Yeah. The IRS, if not the IRS, there's something called GodStar. So GodStar has, like, certain seals, like platinum, gold, bronze. The more transparent you are on GodStar, the higher the seal you get. So if you show them, like, your breakdown of your board, the ethnic breakdown, who you serve, your team, your finances, you got to publish your 990s every year. You have to publish that, right? So they can see your finances so that, you know, and if they don't, like, I had a funder who, you know, shout out to Bronxville Rotary Club, you know, they was on it. Like, look at your finances. Let me see what this. Why you don't have this on GodStar? It was some, like, steps that we overlooked. And he was, like, intentional. And he's like, yo, you guys are doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So once you build that trust with your finances, everything else is, like, just, you know.
What are some of the biggest challenges? Obviously, the money, raising the money, figuring out how to get it. But what are some of those challenges that people who are not familiar with the space, what are things that they should know that you face, right? Like, that is something that somebody put you on. What are some other challenges if we get into the space?
The politics, right? The politics is tough, right? And I just want to touch on something you asked in the answer to the challenging part, right? So me being a full-time CEO, right, just to talk about the executive 211, they're talking about taking that off the table. Right, so imagine a fund is like, here for 3 years, you good. And your first year, they're like, oh, hold on, some political things are going on, you gotta take it off the table. Now I gotta think about how I'm gonna cover my salary. Now I gotta, like, pivot and I gotta work overtime because, you know, June come, I might not have a salary, right? So those challenges is about having a strategy in place to pivot the things that you don't see, and that's always hard, right? But there's many challenges with this work when it comes to fundraising. It's about how you build relationships and with who. So that's the political part of it, right? Like, you know, there's campaign season. So even like some partners of mine that I really jive with, you know, politically, I can't take open stances with you because the 501c3 guidelines is that if I endorse a politician, we get dissolved. Right? And what does endorsement look like? It could be them taking your swag and posting on their page that they was at your event. It could be you taking a picture with them and it's, you know, framed a certain way. So you have to be real careful, right? So, and then it's like a lot of the challenge you see is that you cannot separate community service from the political sphere. They go hand in hand. So now you got to deal with politicians who really don't believe in what you believe in. Right. And that's some of the things I'm working on, like emotional intelligence, right? Like how to navigate these spaces, you know, because I got that rebel in me, but I'm also going through refinement. I ain't got it all figured out. And there's times that I'm in a space and it's like, I really want to talk how I feel, but I can't. And leadership is about your brand ambassadorship, right? Like, what are you representing online and offline? Because people are watching, you know, and so those challenges about policing yourself, you know, being careful where you're hanging out at, how you moving offline and online. But who you really deal with, because your brand can't be separate from who you are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if, again, having to navigate those, like even now I'm doing my grand opening for the 914 space and I'm like, who do I invite, right? Like it gets tricky because you don't want to feel like your favorite, you know, you're showing favoritism to one politician over another, you know, because that might just be you got a close relationship with this person, but they don't understand that because they run against each other. So now if he or she gets a position, they like, yeah, we actioning you out of this money that we, you know, you could have had you voted for us or you would have showed the support. So like being intentional with who you support and how you support, which leads to another problem and challenge, is how do you focus on internally and externally? The internal part of the organization, learning finance management, learning how to manage a team as you grow, learning how to manage new systems that you need, HR, consultants, learning all of that, and then the external pressures of, yo, we had this event, can you come support? Oh, hey, can you do this? Oh, we want to do a collaboration. Oh, can you come to this? Like, it's a lot of, like, just being pulled tug of war from two different directions, you know, and those challenges are very exhausting, but I think if you stay true to your needs, right, and your mission, everything else is going to follow.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.